I want to read about a mother of faith in the Bible before we close our service this morning. A mother of great faith, that is what Jesus called her. And mind you, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28, this woman, this mother, is not even named in the Bible. We don't even know what her name was. Jesus went from there and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Now I want to read from the King James Version. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, possessed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, not fair, to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. How is our faith? Do you have a strong faith, a faith strong enough to persevere in spite of obstacles? Or do you have a faith that easily gives up? Do you have a faith that sees you through even the dark hours of life, even when it seems that your prayers are not being answered? That the things you have hoped for and dreamed of and you trusted for, that they didn't come as you expected? This is the question. The other question is, what kind of God do you believe in? In your mind, in your vision, what kind of God do you believe in? Do you believe in a God that is stingy? Do you believe in God that holds back? Where you have to say over and over, no, this is not fair, and God, you're not giving me what I really deserve? You see, that's what a lot of Christians and believing mothers struggle with. Faith in a merciful God. Faith that is envisioning a God that is rich in mercy, abounding in grace, and always ready to help and willing to help. But oftentimes it doesn't feel like that. There are wonderful examples in the stories in the Bible and throughout history of godly mothers that had an unwavering faith, like Ruth in the Bible, the mother of Moses, the mother of Samuel, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And throughout history, we could name one after another. The Wesley brothers had a mother who was praying. She had a large family. And in spite of having so much work and so many responsibilities and such a large family to raise, she had an attitude that she couldn't afford not to pray. She had a faith that had such an impact on her sons that they became scholars and theologians and pastors and evangelists. In our text, this woman, and she will be forever remembered, a woman without name. She received an answer to her prayer. And this was very interesting because this woman had a double problem. First of all, she didn't belong to Israel, so she couldn't demand any help of Jesus. She couldn't say, well, you know, I am an Israelite woman and I have certain rights. She couldn't come to Jesus and says, you know, if you really are the Messiah, you need to prove it and you need to help my daughter. No, she didn't do that. First of all, this mother revealed her problem. What was her problem? Let's think about it. How many troubled mothers there are in our day and time in the world today. They cry themselves to sleep at night. They worry and are concerned about their children and grandchildren. What will become of them? They have burdens that are unknown and misunderstood by others. A concerned praying mother has burdens that many other people don't understand. Not even her own children. Her own children will sometimes say, well, why do you worry about it so much? Why do you worry about us so much? We're okay. We're independent. We can do what we want. No, that's the problem. A believing mother has this burden on her heart, and she can never get rid of it. But many mothers also live with regrets and guilt and shame about their own pasts. Mistakes they made. And they are in need, in desperate need of forgiveness and healing. And many mothers look at all the wrong places for forgiveness and healing. They have forsaken or not, don't even know the source of life and healing and forgiveness and peace and joy. I'm talking about many mothers in the world today. Let's look at some of the things this mother had against her. First of all, that she was a Syrophoenician, a Canaanite woman that actually belonged to the enemies of Israel. Matthew just says that she was a Canaanite. And as a Canaanite, many Jews treated these Canaanite people as dogs. They kind of considered them as dogs. They looked down on them. They intimidated them. And so her culture and language was against her. Her very religion, she had been used to and grew up in a pagan cult or a pagan religion up to now. And we know that the pagans had all kinds of idol worship and demon possession, all kinds of things that happened there. She was outside the covenant of Israel. She had no right, no claim on the blessings of Israel. This mother, listen to this, she had a big problem. These were her problems, her background problems, but her big problem was her daughter. Her daughter was being tortured by demons. That's what the word says. And with all the other problems that she had, and that she had no claim on Israel and no claim on the blessings of Israel, that all was fading away in light of the problem and the desperation her daughter was in. She couldn't stand to see her own daughter suffer day and night and being tortured by this demon that wouldn't leave her alone. Isn't that horrible to have a daughter that is demon possessed? Beloved ones, today the medical world says that you know, there's some character disorders or this and that, but many people, not all people, there's mental illness, I know that, that has nothing to do with demon possession, but many, I believe, are also demon possessed because they have played or manipulated the occult. And when you have entered the occult world, when you have allowed Satan and made room for Satan to come in through the occult and through occult practices, then demons will possess you. This is what I believe happened here. There's a most distressing problem that parents have when the devil attacks your own children. When the devil brings your own children to the point where they are demon possessed or they're addicted to drugs, addicted to other things that destroy their lives. This woman saw how her daughter was slowly destroyed by the enemy. And she had no answer. She had no wisdom. We don't read anything about the father. And this has always puzzled me. Where was the father of this woman? Nothing is said of the father. The father probably thought, oh no, don't go to Jesus. Don't go to this Jew. He's only for the Jews. He's not for us. He can't help you. He is not allowed to help you. Maybe that's what the husband said. Maybe her husband had died. I don't know. But Satan had attacked the daughter, and this was her problem. The second point I want to make is this mother remained persistent in prayer. And that is the key to this whole story. No one can be called a mother or a person of great faith unless they have a very persistent prayer life. And she came to Jesus with her problem. And she addressed him like this. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She addressed Jesus and made it clear in her words, in her prayer, that she knew who Jesus identified with. That he was a son of David. That he was a promise that had been fulfilled, that the Messiah was to come from the descendants of David. What a blessing for every woman who knows where to go with her problems. What a blessing for you as a mother and grandmother. You can kneel down and pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me because my family is in dire need, is in desperation. The enemy has attacked and I cannot take this. This is my problem. You see, when Satan attacks our families, then the mothers and fathers need to step in and say, you attack my family, you have to deal with me. Because I will intercede for my family. I may not be strong enough to overcome Satan's attacks, but I know someone who is, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of David. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Lord, have mercy. This woman, as a mother, seeks help for her daughter who was suffering so badly. You see, suffering can either drive us to despair, where we totally give up and let the problems, let Satan just take over and destroy whatever is left. or suffering can lead us and bring us and drive us to the Lord. And this is very important. I think as believing mothers, you know this, that when the suffering comes, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and you are overwhelmed, and you don't know where to go, then Jesus is the place where you can go and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And that is the beauty in this whole story, that this mother came. You see, the world is a mess. Human beings are suffering. Everybody is suffering. Everybody experiences some misery through life. And no matter how we live and how protected we want to live, we will experience misery. We will experience suffering, physical, emotional, mental, and especially spiritual as believers in Christ. And that is where it's very important that we cry out to God and say, and we trust in His mercy. And we say, Lord, if you are merciful, you can help and you can heal me. You can get me through this time of suffering. This is what this mother said. The Greek word for this is Kyrie eleison, which means, Lord, have mercy. She cried out to the Lord. I think she was almost screaming. She said, my need is so big. Lord, I'm screaming and I'm not giving up until you do something. So she believed everything about Jesus. She believed that he was the son of David. She believed that he was the promised Messiah. She believed that Jesus had power, that he was the son of God, that he had his deity. And she believed in his power upon to answer her request, that he could actually answer prayers. And she believed that Jesus would be interested in helping her. You see, when you come to the Lord in prayer, these are the things that we need to believe so that we will get answers to our prayers. That Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he is God, and that he will not only have the power, but also he wants to help, he wants to answer our prayers. But there were problems confronting the answer to her prayer. Now imagine this, she has all these problems, these background problems, she has no claim officially to the blessings of Israel, but her daughter is so severely in distress that she comes with her prayer, and then her prayer initially gets rejected. Wow, what a discouragement. Jesus didn't answer at first at all. She cried out, she moaned and groaned, and Jesus said nothing. Why did he do that? Jesus did all this to show us how persistence in prayer is so important in our life of faith. We shouldn't easily give up. We need to keep on praying, keep on believing. So Jesus waits to give an answer, and finally he gives the answer and says, I haven't come to bless you. You know the rule. He reminded her of the rule. And I believe Jesus tested this woman. That was all he did. He had well intentions to help her, but he tested her. He wanted to test her and say, why? You know the rule that you have no claim on Israel's blessings. Why do you come to me? But you see, this woman had a vision, a faith that went beyond this obstacle. She was trained. She had been told over and over her limitations. No, you can't do that. You can't expect that. You can't expect an answer to this prayer. And maybe you have been told that too. And whatever the enemy or anyone has told you about prayer life, that it doesn't work, that it's no use to pray, no use to trust God because the answer didn't come the way you wanted to or it didn't come in time, don't you believe it? This is what the story wants to teach us. So the disciples finally came and said, send her away. She's bothering us. I mean, she's just making all this noise here. And just send her away. We saw that you ignored her. You're not interested in her. Just send her away. But he didn't do that. You see, Jesus hears the cry of the heart more than the cry of our voice. And Jesus heard the cry of the heart of this woman. And through all the layers of resistance, she came through. Like an onion, it all peeled off. One layer of resistance after another, it just peeled off. And she came to Jesus. And this is what it says here. She persevered. She came to worship him, the Bible says here. Martin Luther said this about this woman. He said, she battles Christ. She catches the Lord Christ in his own words. Yes, still more, with the rights of dogs, she gains the rights of a child. Now, where will he go, the dear Jesus? He has caught himself and must help her. But now this well, know this well, he loves to be caught in this way. If only we had the skill of this woman to catch God in his own judgment and say, yes, Lord, you are right. It is true. It is true that I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of your grace. But you have promised forgiveness and did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance or the sick to be healed. Behold, Christ must then, through his own judgment, have mercy on us. What Martin Luther wants to say here is that Christ has bound himself to the Word of God himself, to the promises that he has given us in Scripture. Jesus has bound himself to it. And that we can hold him, in front of him, the promises and say, Lord, you said this. I didn't make it up. I'm just asking you to do according to your word, to your promises, because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us, because you said if we pray in your name that you would give us. You see, that's strengthening our faith. And that's what this woman did. She said, yes, Lord, I know. I know I have no claim on the blessings of Israel. I know that I'm like a dog. But yet we still, dogs are still entitled to something. The dogs are entitled to the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then, listen to point number three. This mother receives the promise from Jesus. Jesus says, O woman, great is thy faith. Had she really been good at anything? Did she feel entitled to it? Did she feel that she was a nobody? Yes, she did. But one thing that could not be taken away from her, one thing that she cannot be criticized over and must be praised for, is her persistent prayer and her faith that wouldn't give up. In other words, this woman came and she prayed through until she had the answer. She didn't give up. And this is my encouragement to you. Persistence and not giving up is the key to our life of faith as mothers, as fathers, as believers. And may God help us that we learn from this nameless woman, and that we learn to pray over and over when our child is sick, when our child is in dire need, when our family is in trouble, when Satan attacks, and when the mountains of difficulties is overwhelm us, that we say, Lord, have mercy on me. And the more we cry out to the Lord, guess what? He will hear us. I'm sure of that. He didn't do it just at that time. This is written for us as an example that we can follow. May God help us to have strong, faith-filled hearts and minds, strong and faithful mothers that will pray until the answer comes. God bless you all. Amen.